may be seated. Our scripture this morning is hopefully a familiar one from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. The Father revealed in the Son. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. I love word association. I love the languages. I love even foreign languages, and I don't know any of them fluently, but occasionally if I know I'm going somewhere, I'll dive into that language, and I'm fascinated by how many words are associated with each other. We have such a push in this country that somehow English is, well, let's back up, American English is somehow the language, and really it is just this conglomerate of multiple languages. It is the slang version of every language that's ever come to our borders. I love word association games. We've been playing this game called Code Names at home, and it is fun for everyone. We usually can't get the whole family involved, but this one they seem to be drawn to it. You put 25 random words in front of you, and I get a sheet that shows me 9 of those highlighted, and I have to get my partner to guess those 9 words by giving only one word clues. And so there might be 3 words, and I can say one word to get you to guess those 3 words, but if you guess any of the other ones, we're toast. It's over. And so it forces you to see connections between words that otherwise have no reason to be united. There's no reason for those words to have anything to do with each other until you force yourself into it. And we just love it. I love it especially because it reminds me of my childhood. My dad was an English major, and his mom was a language specialist, and his sister is an English teacher, and we just have a strong family connection for word games and for word association and for playing with words and for seeing especially how many words are connected to other words in our language. It has been a gift, not like I'm gifted in it, but it has been a gift to me because it has helped me find deeper meaning in life and in faith and in language. When we start to see past the surface of our language and see the depth to which it is connected to itself and to other languages and to people, it can be life-changing. For instance, vital. Vital, that V-I-T in vital means life. And so a word like invite means to invite someone into life. When we see that connection between vitality and invitation, we we are doing more than just sending a card and say, come to our party. When you invite someone, you are deeply inviting them, telling them, I want you to be a part of the life that is taking place here. That is why that word exists in our vision, to invite, connect, grow, and serve. It starts with invitation to let others know that they are welcome to be a part of the life that is happening, the vitality that is taking place. Those words are associated. Another example would be appraisal. An appraisal is defining something's value. You assess something and you declare its value. Well, within that word appraisal is the word raise. To raise means to lift up. But also within that word is praise. And all three of those are associated with each other. To declare something's value and to lift it up. And when it becomes praise, it becomes a community thing. It becomes collective. We are praising God. We are declaring God's value and lifting it up. We are praising, raising, and praising together. Those words are deeply associated. The same goes with vocal. To speak out loud, that VOC, an invocation, is speaking into existence an invitation for a deity. When you go to an event that isn't technically religious, but they still want a pastor to come pray before the dinner starts, they often call it an invocation. Speaking into invitation, speaking an invitation for a deity to be present, for God to be present there, we speak it out loud. An invocation is prayer. We are inviting out loud God to be present. But also within that VOC, vocal, vocation. Your vocation is more than just your job. It is something that has spoken to you. Something in your life has spoken to you. It is your calling. That is the first movement, the very first movement of the scriptures, of life on earth, is God vocalizing, let there be light. Existence started with invocation, with vocalizing, with God speaking, with the movement of those vocal cords, let there be light. With that movement, there's another word, movement. The M-E-N-T in movement ties into other words like momentum. Movement is one thing moving from one place to another. Momentum is it's the force. It's the power. It is the weight and force that thing moving carries. And so something moving has momentum. If it's got movement, it has momentum. And if that movement stops, it takes a lot of extra power to get the momentum started again. It is harder to start a load moving than it is to keep it moving. If you have any affiliation with farming, you know that. To get a plow to start is so much harder than it is to keep it going. Once the momentum is there, once the movement is there, it is easier. But that M-E-N-T in movement and momentum lets you understand a deeper meaning of the word mentor. If someone is your mentor, they are helping you not only keep momentum, but keep the path, to help you know the path that you are on and to keep going. I'm always looking for connections between life and language and faith. And sometimes it's gotten bad or good, depending on how you look at it. I sometimes find myself digging too hard to, like, somehow these have to be related. I know they are. Sometimes it can drive me crazy, but sometimes it pays off. Like the word should. I was determined. Should has to be connected to shoulder somehow. All these other ones, it's you take that piece of a word and it's in another word and they're connected. The meaning is the same. And I tried every language, I tried everything I could find to say somehow that the word should and the word shoulder are connected. They S-H-O-U-L-D. Add the E-R. Why are they not? They're not connected by any way in language. But in life, when you look back at where you've been and what you've done, when you think of all the things you should have done, or you could have done better, or you would have done it, all of those should-haves, where do they rest? On your shoulders. They weigh us down. They are our burden, and they weigh down upon us on our shoulders. All of our should-haves rest on our shoulders. So maybe it's a stretch, but they're connected, aren't they? Don't you feel that when all those should-haves pile up? You can see it in some people's posture. It is a lot. If you are deeply connected to a friend who is weighed down and you can see their momentum slowing, you can see their vitality shrinking, what do? We walk alongside them. We clear space from our own shoulders to carry some of their burden. Their yoke is heavy. And we can see it in their life. We can see that they are being dragged down. And so we clear space and we yoke ourselves with them. We carry their burden upon our own and walk together to keep momentum. And that is Jesus' offer for you today. And every day, to walk together. That resting in Christ is not stagnant. It is not stopping and just being. It is continuing in life. It is continuing in momentum. When Jesus speaks of yoking, that is yoking. That is a mechanical yoke that has united the forces of these two bodies. But what's amazing about this, about being yoked together, is that fact that starting a load in moving takes considerably more force than maintaining that momentum. The upstart energy that it takes is more than the continuing movement. If we put a sled out in the parking lot and weighed it down with everything we could find and put ropes on it, you could pull and pull and pull and pull and it won't move. But once you get it to go, if you keep that going, it glides, it moves. Once the momentum is there, the weight of its own mass is with you and you go. If you stop, you're done. You got to restart. But what happens when we yoke, when we mechanically lock ourselves united to the one next to us, it gives us rest. But that rest is not stagnant. That rest is not in standing still. That rest is in passing the load back and forth. You see that big center hook? That is where the load is tied. That is where all the weight is, right in the center of that. And so if you stop completely, you've lost your momentum. But if you slow down a little bit, the load is transferred, the work is transferred to the one next to you, to their shoulders. And they can carry it until they need a rest and it passes back and forth. That yoke, as simple as it looks, is shifting the weight. It's shifting the work back and forth to the two who are carrying it. And what is an amazing thing about yoking is that one bull can carry, we're just going to throw a number out there. If one bull can carry 1,000 pounds and another bull can carry 1,000 pounds, those two bulls together can carry more than 2,000 pounds because they work together, because they have a chance to rest and push hard and rest and push hard and to keep that momentum going together. They never have to. If it's just one bull, every step is a restart. Every step is having to get it going again. And if there's ever a break, it stops completely. But with two, it more than doubles your ability. It begins to multiply. We are called to rest in Jesus' yoke. The offering from God in this moment is to yoke together with Christ, to learn from Him. That's what happens with these animals. They become accustomed to each other. Once there's a pair and they work well together, you want to keep those two together because they get to know each other's movements. They get to know each other's exhaustion. They get to know when they can trust and rely on the other one and when they need to step up. It becomes easier. Whatever the burden is, whatever the weight upon the shoulders is, it becomes easier when we are yoked. And when we are yoked in Christ, we are united. That is the definition of the word yoke, to unite. And in this case, it's mechanical. But in Christ, it is all things. It is mechanical and spiritual. It is of mind and body and spirit and soul. It is of life. It is of mind. We learn from it. When we are yoked together in a journey, we learn on the times of ourselves when we need to rest, when we must keep going, but we need to also breathe, when we need to regain strength. And we learn of ourselves when those who are yoked with us need a break as well. You have done that for me. You have allowed me to rest while the momentum continued, while the growth continued, while whatever is taking place here in this church, in this community, continued. You allowed me to rest. And now, rested, I am ready to take the next steps. It puts us in position to be vital, to praise, to speak out loud, to vocalize what is taking place. United in body Spirit, we move together. And over time, we learn. That puts it all out there. The greatest commandment, to love God with your heart and soul and mind and strength. All of those things are together when we yoke ourselves in Christ with each other, when we are united. I'm going to tease you a little bit here. Yoga has always been a thing. But about 20 years ago, it became a big thing, right? And yoga is a major exercise movement. It's a major spiritual movement. And with that movement came a lot of Christian pushback. That it couldn't possibly be connected to the Christian church. Lots of churches started little yoga meetings in the churches, exercise movements that they were doing yoga, but don't dare call it yoga. Call it Christian stretching or whatever it may be. But don't call it yoga, because yoga is foreign and it's got to be not Christian if it's foreign. Do you know the Sanskrit word for yoke? I'll give you a guess. It's yoga. The word yoga means yoke. The word yoke means yoga. They are the same. It means united. In the exercise practice, it is an exercise to unify yourself to your body and your spirit and your mind to be unified. And oftentimes they are also invoking a deity, a greater power into that exercise. In Christianity, if I were reading this in Sanskrit, Jesus would be saying, do yoga with me. Be united with me in mind and body and soul and spirit. That can be real tough for people to hear sometimes. It might be tough for you right now. Jesus didn't speak English or Sanskrit. But the words he was saying meant, be united with me in mind and body and soul and spirit, and you will find rest. We celebrate that gift today. We celebrate that invitation. We celebrate that vitality. We celebrate him calling out to us, vocalizing the invitation to do this in remembrance of me. And so it is in communion that we gather. It's in communion that we are united. It is in communion to which you are invited to be one with Christ in mind, soul, body and strength.